Branch NMLS number 33041. Rick Rittman's NMLS number 664589. Equal housing lender. Some restrictions apply.
Welcome to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix-It Mortgage. Our branch NMLS is 33041. Now, here's your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickman.
You know, it seems like every day I run across somebody, either I run across a mortgage or somebody's calling me on a mortgage on somebody who's getting divorced, or they're getting divorced, or I'll get a previous customer give me a call and they're know somebody who is in the middle of getting a divorce or is considering a divorce. And in that time frame, there's a lot of things when somebody's going through something like that that needs to be addressed. Not only the mortgages that have to be addressed, make sure somebody can finance, make sure that what they're trying to that they need the outcome to be, that we can help them with that, which it's very important that we talk to them ahead of time. But even more important, I think, sometimes is talking to somebody who understands that process on a financial basis and how to go through the process. And so today I have, and he's coming back, Greg Keel. He's a private wealth advisor. He's a managing partner with, and I apologize, Greg, I can't pronounce it.
It's funny, our little tagline, it started out as a joke. It's acuitas, and it's Latin for perception or insight. And we thought we were really, really bright by coming up with that. And so no one can say it. So our new tagline is, it's the name no one can say, but everyone trusts.
Acuitas. There you go. Yeah, that's awesome. And you are also... you're a certified financial planner, you're a chartered retirement planning counselor, you're a certified divorce financial analyst, and certified for long-term care. So you've got a lot, and you've been doing this a long time. So could you real quick, just give kind of a little bit overview of who you are, what you do?
Absolutely. And thanks for having me back, Rick. It's always good to spend some time with you. Appreciate it. So, for 23 years, I've been a wealth manager, financial advisor, and certified divorce financial analyst is what we're talking about today, because we specialize in helping people through divorce. It's an awful time when the love of your life is ending. And for most people, it's one of the worst things they're going to go through in their life. I fought a combat tour in Iraq, and I've been divorced. And I'll go back several more times to Iraq before I'll do one of those divorces again. Tough time. And my ex-wife and I, we did it right. We did it with love. And we learned a lot through the process, and we are good friends today and are able to raise our children together as a result. And so I have a lot of passion for helping people get through this process well. And, you know, it's one of those things that can tear people apart or can raise them higher to a better place where they can find happiness, kindness, and love again. And boy, that's work worth doing.
Yeah. I can tell you have a lot of passion for what you do. Obviously some of it's because of what you've been through. Some of it's just how you are. You're just that type of person who cares. It's really, and also thank you for your service. You've never mentioned that before. I had no idea. How long were you in Iraq?
I was in Iraq for, the tour was, almost 2 years.
Oh, wow. So that was not as tough as the divorce.
There was a lot of shooting back and forth, and we were fortunate, both me and all the men that served with me. I was a company commander, a captain in the Army. We all came back with all the fingers and toes, got sporty here and there, and we worked hard and did some great things, built some schools and water purification plants. I was lucky enough to get to train one of the first combat effective Iraqi Army units. Did a lot of things over there that we're proud of. Did what we had to do, and luckily was able to come back home.
That's fantastic. Well, I know in a divorce situation, you know, one of the things you have to help people decide is how they're going to split up the assets, the family assets. And I was wondering, what is the attorney's rule?
Yeah, so
or role. Yeah. Not rule, role.
They have lots of rules.
They have tons of rules, but what is the role of an attorney? Well, not the role of an attorney.
It's funny. You know, a lot of people ask me, what's the financial advisor doing in this? And then other people ask me, well, if this is a math problem, 95% math problem and a 5% legal problem, then what are we doing with the lawyer? It's really a team effort between the tax advisor, the legal advisor, the attorney, and the financial advisor, because what we're trying to do is figure out how does everybody get out of here in a way that is fair and sustainable for all. Now, I know sometimes justice requires that we get him or get her for what she's done. But the law doesn't look at it that way. And what we really want to do is separate the finances of this family, unentangle them, and put us in a position where this family can move forward and find happiness again, not necessarily living together or being in that marriage anymore. And so the attorney helps us with those legal issues around custody, around child issues. And in the end, when we come to an agreement, we need to make sure that it's written so that it's legally enforceable in the future. And where a lot of people fail is they come to some reasonable agreements, but they didn't write it down properly. And so 4 years from now, when there's a new husband or a new wife involved with one of the spouses, and they don't see things the way they did 4 or 5 years ago, well, now we have to go back and say, you know what, you promised to pay this, or you promised to transfer that. And when they don't, you need to make sure that that divorce settlement agreement or that divorce decree is legally enforceable. So I've had 15 minutes of legal training. Do not take any legal advice from me, and I won't give any. And so we really do value that insight from the attorneys. And the right attorneys understand that they've had 15 minutes of financial training. And they, when they're looking at financial assets, they might not be able to tell one from the other. And they don't know what they don't know, just like I don't know in the law. And so when you put that team together, you're much more likely to get an outcome that is fair, that is financially sustainable, and that is legally enforceable in the future.
Yeah, you know, with the attorneys, one of the reasons I got into financing for divorce and wanted to be certified in it is because you run into, I was running into divorces where, let's say, person, A had to finance the house. They were going to stay in the house and they were going to finance the house. And that was part of the divorce decree. And it was a requirement. They had to do it within 6 months of getting divorced. And yet they couldn't qualify for a mortgage. They hadn't worked in years. There was no way to qualify. So they put together an agreement that wasn't something that could even be accomplished. The only thing that they could do is sell the house or change the agreement. And many times they ended up working the agreement out, or they let them go a little longer. But I thought, you know, they need to know, that needs to be communicated. They need to understand the process through the mortgage. And I know that when you and I talked the first time, that was one of the things that you knew, absolutely knew, you know, it takes 6 months unless we set something up better up front so it doesn't take so long.
Well, this is why that team effort is so important and why I'm here, because Rick, you are the best, absolutely the best I've worked with in over 2 decades, and really appreciate you. And I'm sure your listeners already know this, but Rick is certified in this area as well. And I'm not a mortgage expert, right? So when I need a mortgage expert, when I need a debt expert, you're the guy I call, and we know that and work so well together. And this is the point, anybody out there that knows somebody going through this, anybody out there that's going through this themselves, understand when you put that team together of people who've been there, done that, know what they're seeing, you're going to get a better outcome. Your attorney just can't know everything, and you don't want to pay that attorney $250, $350, $450 an hour to learn what we already know and can't possibly learn it in enough time. So so important that when we put these agreements together and come up with these ways to solve the problem, that we understand what is doable and not. And you're right. I see crazy things all the time that people attempt or even agree to that are not a thing, not possible, can't do it. Yeah. And then that can have really dire impacts, especially if the divorce is not a particularly friendly one. And now we've got this agreement, part of which is unenforceable, especially if it's material. You know, maybe the husband or the wife is waiting on a $67,000 refi payout that just can't happen.
Right.
Well, then what do we do? That $67,000 I was counting on, or $6,700, doesn't matter how much it is, it isn't going to happen. Well, the court signed off on this thing. You signed off on it. She signed off on it.
Right.
We got ourselves a pickle here, kids.
Yep. And, you know, it goes even beyond that a little bit, in that if they on a mortgage, they're obligated to that mortgage. And so it does, even if they have the money to buy a house, it could keep them from being able to buy another house, because they're still on that mortgage. That debt's going to be counted against them.
Boy, that is so important. And, you know, this is why you're the guy, right? Here's the thing. If you're on a joint mortgage with your spouse and you get divorced, and that spouse, and you give the spouse the house, right? So now your ex lives in the house, and that spouse can't refinance, and he or she defaults on that loan, guess who they're going to come after?
Right. Exactly.
You, just because you got divorced, you are not released from the obligation of paying that loan back. That is a joint debt that you took on while you were married. If you need me to say that 7 or 8 more times, I will. But listeners, listen up. Yeah. If you have not discharged that debt, you still owe it. And that's going to be true on all of the debt that you took on when you were married, not just a mortgage. So make sure you understand that in your agreement.
Yeah, and I've seen people use that against the other.
Oh yeah,
and it's terrible.
They'll say, sure, I'll take that debt, and you know, you walk away thinking all that debt is going to be taken care of, and then the spouse that took the debt defaults on it, and then here they come looking for you. Wait a second, that's not mine. It's in the divorce decree.
Right.
No one cares.
Yeah,
you
unfortunately,
still owe it.
That's right. You know, Greg, it's clear to me that anybody who, unfortunately, hopefully they don't have to go through a divorce, but if they're looking at divorce, if it's something that may be coming up, every single one of them should give you a call. And I understand that, but could you kind of go why they should do that?
You don't know what you don't know until you find it out. You don't want to find out after you've signed your divorce settlement agreement. You want to know what you don't know from the very beginning. Now, we have a huge passion for this. There's 22 of us in our shop. We have a huge capacity to have you come in and talk to us about your situation. There's no charge for that. We're going to tell you if we think we can help and what that entails. But at least come in and get a view from people who've been through this hundreds of thousands of times, who've been working in the financial industry for decades. Come and have somebody take a look at it and give you a little bit of direction. If that means we end up working together, great. If not, that's fine too. But come and make sure you know what you're seeing.
Yeah. And how would they get a hold of you if they need to get a hold of you, Greg?
Our phone number is 317-288-5400. You can Google Greg Keel. That's GREGGKEELE. Yes, my mother put 2 G's at the end of my name to make sure no one would ever spell it right. But if you Google anything close to that, you'll find us. GregKeel.com is our website. If you go to Ameriprise.com, you can find us that way as well. Lots of ways to find us, but do that.
Yeah, I would encourage everybody to do that. Let's move on with, you know, how have the tax laws changed from the, like, 2018 affecting alimony, those type of things?
Yeah, so one of the biggest changes is that alimony is no longer tax deductible. And so the sharpest of your listeners are saying, aha, there's no alimony in Indiana anyway, so who cares? Well, that is true. But a lot of times you'll have home equity or a business or a retirement plan that's not liquid, or a pension plan that can't be split. And those things are marital assets and we have to split them, but there's no way to physically do that. So one spouse has to pay the other over time in order to equalize that. And so we used to be able to tell the federal government that it was an alimony payment, and that's how we would file it on your federal taxes. And then the spouse paying it would get to deduct that income, and the spouse receiving it would have to pay tax on it. And where we would get a big advantage is if one spouse was in the 35% tax bracket, for example, and the other, after the divorce, is in the 15% tax bracket, we have a big savings. So a $100,000 transfer from her to him, she saves $20,000 in tax. So that $100,000 annual transfer only costs her $80,000 to pay him $100,000.
Okay.
And that was a huge advantage and allowed us in many cases to transfer those illiquid assets over time at a savings to everybody. Well, in the tax law changes that were put into effect in 2018, alimony is no longer tax deductible. So this ability to cost effectively move assets from one spouse to another ex-spouse over time has declined completely. Now it's much, much more expensive to do that because typically the one transferring the money is in a considerably higher tax bracket. So we have to get a lot more creative. And one of the ways that we're able to do that is by more substantially utilizing debt and leverage. Because interest rates, at the same time we lost the alimony, we have interest rates at or near all-time lows. We can now borrow money very cost effectively, and sometimes even tax in a tax deductible manner, from smart guys like Rick. We can put together programs to bar the transferring spouse leverages an asset. Maybe it's a vacation home, maybe it's the marital home, maybe it's a business. Lots of ways to get that done. And then we use that leverage to make a tax-free payment to the receiving spouse. And then because interest rates are low, the cost of doing that, you know, you imagine you get a loan, even if you got a, say it's a real estate loan and you got it for 3.5%. Well, would you rather take a loan at 3.5% or pay 35% in tax?
Right. Yeah.
I don't need my calculator, and I don't think you do either. That 3.5 is a lot lower than 35. And so even when we have to pay higher interest rates sometimes on investment property or businesses or whatever, still that 7% loan is a heck of a lot better than paying 35% tax,
right,
and then transferring it. So we have to get a lot more creative. But this is, again, why you put the team together, so that you have different brains and different eyes looking at the problem, trying to find solutions that work.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, there's so many things that most people would never think about, but you've done this so long, you've done it over and over again, you understand it. And I think it's one of the reasons why you may have a financial planner, but if they're not trained and they don't understand what you understand, they may not take them down the right path. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. Most financial advisors are mostly doing asset management. So they're trying to figure out where to invest your money in the market to earn the returns that you're looking for. And that's really what they specialize in. A few of them are actual financial planners, where they're looking down the road at tax implications. They're looking at how your estate is set up so that you can transfer money after your death to the organizations and people that you care most about. They're looking at a comprehensive aspect of it. But very few of us are experienced and trained and designated to work specifically in divorce. And I would guess the reason for that is dealing with people going through divorce is not a lot of fun sometimes, right? This is when we're at our worst. And I'll admit, when I was going through my divorce, I held it together the best I could, but I was probably not the most fun guy to be around. It's a tough job, and it takes a lot of love and a lot of patience and a lot of grace to help people through this terrible time, because you know what an amazing human this is in front of you that's screaming at you and then crying and then screaming at you again, right?
Right.
So the training and experience to know, again, what we're seeing when we're looking at a problem relative to divorce, those who don't have that training and experience don't know what they don't know.
Right.
And so the advice they give you may otherwise be sound, but in this very particular situation, in this very one divorce that you are going through, boy, you really want somebody that can look at it with the eyes of the training and the experience.
Yeah, it goes back kind of to what you were saying about an attorney. They know their piece, and a financial planner knows his piece, but if he's not trained in it, he doesn't know this piece.
Right. And what can be transferred and what can't. And there are so many nuances to it. So a 457B plan is a non-qualified deferred compensation plan for nonprofit, essentially. So you got governments, and then there's a lot of them in healthcare, for example. Well, you can transfer one of those in a divorce, and you can't transfer the other, even though they're both called a 457B plan. Right.
Okay.
So you go ahead and write an agreement that you're going to transfer this plan, and then you go to do it. Can't do it.
Yeah.
Right. No court can order it. Can't be done. So these little things, that 457B plan, by the way, you can take money out of that at any age generally and not pay the 10% tax penalty that you normally would on a retirement distribution under age 59 and a half. Well, that could be very, very important. If one spouse needs liquidity and needs money and you end up giving it to the spouse that doesn't, well, you've just wasted an opportunity where there could have been some liquidity available. There are 100 million little things like that, that if you haven't done it, if you haven't trained it, if you're not, you just wouldn't know.
Right. Yeah. And it's so important. So on that same tact, what options might someone have to get their divorce payouts achieved? Maybe in using financing, or what other ways are there?
Well, going to hate this answer because I'm going to sound like a lawyer, because every time you ask a lawyer a question, what do they say? They say it depends, right?
Yeah, it does.
It depends. Just tell me. So depending on the composition of the assets that the family holds and what the income potential of each is, so many they call them gray divorces because the people getting divorced would ostensibly have gray hair if we didn't color it. in these divorces that happen in our 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, I'm doing one now for an 80-year-old, the composition of those assets and who needs what is so important. You know, when you look at there's a marriage here, an 80-year-old, is divorcing his 60-year-old wife, right? Well, he has statistically four to seven more years to live. She has statistically something like 30 more years to live. Well, how we split that up has to at least significantly address that reality. And so there is something called a qualified domestic relations order, which allows us to split lots of different kinds of pensions and qualified plans like a 401k or a 403b. Some pension plans, like Lilly, for example, will let you split that asset. Some, like the police pension, for example, we won't.
Okay.
And so we need to look at the needs of each. What we like to do is do a cash flow analysis for the next 20 years to say, okay, do each of these people with this particular settlement idea, do each of these people have positive cash flow over the next 20 years? And if not, what can we do to change that? Then we lay over that a net worth analysis. Over the next 20 years, does anybody's net worth go below zero? If so, this might not be a good settlement, right? So what do we have to tweak or change here in order to make sure that both sides walk out of this with a reasonable deal, right?
Right.
Does it favor one or the other? If so, why? What are we trying to accomplish in favoring him or her over the other? But at the end of the day, if you're trying to get a divorce settlement that favors you and hurts your ex-spouse, although that might feel good emotionally, that's not likely to be the outcome if you go to court, and not likely to get you what you want in the end. Let's be honest. Let's be fair. Let's get this done.
Yeah, I would guess that's hard to do because there's so much emotion in it to get both sides to feel like, okay, this is fair.
Well, there is no fair. It's not fair if you get cheated on. It's not fair if you're the one that doesn't want to leave the marriage and someone else does. It's not going to be fair, but it is happening. And so we need to make the best out of a really tragic, terrible, sad situation. Because whether we like it or not, it is happening. So let's be honest and let's be reasonable. And let's get this done, knowing that both sides are going to be financially sustainable at the end of this.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, Greg, can you give us, again, how can somebody contact you if they want to talk to you or your team about any financial planning situation?
Absolutely. Easiest way is to Google Greg Keele, GREGGKEELE, or go to gregkeele.com. Our phone number is 317-288-5400. That's 317-288-5400. Ask for me, Greg Keele, or contact us in any number of those ways. We are on Facebook. We are on LinkedIn. We are all over the place. But just find us, gregkeele.com, and we'll make sure you're well cared for.
Well, I would encourage everybody who has any finances at all to give Greg a call. He really knows what you can tell. If you can't tell by the radio, he really knows what he's talking about. He's the best. Make sure you give him a call. And Greg, thanks so much for joining me today. I really do appreciate it.
Rick, you are the best, and appreciate the opportunity to spend some time with you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And this concludes this episode, and I really appreciate everybody listening in. If you need to get a hold of me through the week, please feel free to give me a call, 317-658-5240, or you can go, probably the easiest way is go to hardworkingmortgageguy.com. That's hardworkingmortgageguy.com. And on my website, you'll have all my contact information, along with you can hit the contact Rick and fill out the information there, and I'll get back with you. Anyway, I appreciate it very much, and you have a great weekend.